but he wasn't able to clear his mind this time. Instead, he kept running over Revan's words, playing them against the enduring images of his vision, trying to understand what it all meant.
Chapter 27. As planned, Revan, Mitra, Scourge, and T3M4 left the cave at dawn, though dawn on Dromund Kaas was a term with little meaning. The black storm clouds completely blocked out the sun, and the sky was only marginally lighter than it had been during the night. A steady drizzle fell on them as they climbed into the speeder. They rode in silence, all of them preparing in their own way for what they knew lay ahead. Mitra had gone into what Revan called her warrior's trance. She sat still and straight, her eyes focused on nothing as she stared straight ahead. He had seen it many times during the war against the Mandalorians. Before each major battle, she would try to center her emotions, cleansing herself of all fear and hatred, lest the imminent violence draw her toward the dark side. She believed she could transform herself into a perfect conduit for the Force, an incorruptible weapon of light. Revan was no longer sure such a thing was possible, but he didn't say anything to Mitra for fear of disrupting her routine. With his memories restored, Revan recalled that he, too, had once clung to a set of rituals before each battle. He would stare at his reflection in the mirror, his face covered by his mask, as he recited the Jedi Code over and over until the words seemed to blend together, their meaning lost in the rhythmic repetition of a mantra. In those days, he had believed this would protect him from the dark side, but he no longer had any such illusions. He was older and wiser. He understood that the two sides of the Force were more closely intertwined with each other than either the Jedi or the Sith would ever admit. He had learned to balance on the knife edge between them, drawing on both the light and dark sides for strength. As much as things had changed, however, he still felt the old stirrings of glory as they set off, a faint echo from the impetuousness of youth that had caused him to defy the Council and lead his fellow Jedi into war so many years before. Even T3 was strangely subdued, the gravity of their situation weighing as heavily on the astromech as it did on his organic companions. Revan knew he didn't have to worry about Mitra or the faithful droid. Scourge was another matter, however. The conversation they'd had during the night left little doubt that the Sith was troubled. Unlike the Jedi, he had not spent a lifetime preparing for this. The concept of self-sacrifice came easily to those who walk the path of the light. Even though he occasionally strayed into the dark side, Revan still embraced the nobility of the idea. For the Sith, however, there was no such thing as a noble death. Scourge understood the concept of sacrifice, but only when it came to sacrificing others. He had been taught to value survival above all else. Even his willingness to join with Revan and Mitra was driven by his desire for self-preservation. Ultimately, he wanted victory only for his sake, and not for the sake of others. Perhaps there was no greater illustration of the difference between the light side and the dark, and Revan knew it would make their mission more difficult for Scourge. He had tried to make him understand during their brief conversation, but it was hard to undo years of teaching in a single night. Still, the Sith seemed to be holding himself together well enough this morning.
"I can't bring the speeder in too close," Scourge said now, taking them in for a landing on the farthest outskirts of Kaas City. "They might have set up ion cannons to shoot down any unauthorized vehicles."
They continued on foot, making their way through the empty streets heading toward the Citadel. They didn't encounter a single living soul on their journey. Apart from the Emperor's guard, nobody dared to violate the curfew, and three Force-sensitive individuals and an astromech equipped with top-of-the-line optical and audio sensors had no trouble avoiding the handful of patrols still wandering the streets. As they drew closer to the city center, the signs of the previous night's mayhem became more frequent and more striking. Most of the windows were shattered, and many of the buildings were blackened by smoke or completely gutted by fire. The street was pockmarked with craters and covered with the burned-out husks of speeders lying on their sides. Most of the dead had been carted away, either by friends or Imperial cleaning crews, but there was still the odd body slumped in a doorway or half-hidden under a refuse pile down a side alley. When they finally reached the Citadel, there were no sentries standing by the entrance at the top of the stairs.
"If we run into anyone, let me do the talking," Scourge whispered as they mounted the steps.
They were only a few meters away from the entrance when the door flew open and half a dozen of the red-uniformed soldiers spilled out, armed with blasters and electrostaffs.
"You are in violation of the Imperial curfew,"
one of the soldiers informed them.
"Surrender your weapons, and you will be escorted to a nearby prison facility."
"You fool!"
Lord Scourge spat at the guard, his voice rising with arrogant indignation.
"Do you know who I am?"
"Only those explicitly authorized by the Emperor are permitted on the streets,"
the soldier replied, his voice wavering only slightly.
"I need no authorization. My name is Lord Scourge, and I demand a meeting with the Emperor."
From the reaction of the soldiers, it was clear they recognized the name. No doubt every member of the Emperor's guard was aware by now that Scourge had been the catalyst for the Emperor's sudden purging of the entire Dark Council.
"We will escort you to him,"
the leader replied, lowering his weapon.
"But the others must wait here."
"No,"
Scourge said.
"They will come with me to speak with the Emperor in person."
The soldier seemed on the verge of denying the request, and Revan mentally prepared himself to unleash his fury, but at the last minute, the man relented, at least partially.
"Follow me,"
he said.
"I'll ask the captain to meet us outside the throne room. She will decide whether to allow this."
Revan was impressed by Scourge's performance, not to mention relieved. On his last visit to Dromund Kos, he and Malak had learned everything they could about the Imperial Guard. Though not attuned to the Force in the classical sense, the elite soldiers had a connection with the Emperor, allowing them to draw strength from the dark side. They were formidable opponents, even for a Jedi. He'd feared they'd have to fight through dozens of the Guard before reaching the throne room, giving the Emperor ample time to prepare his counterattack. Now, however, they had a chance to take their adversary by surprise. They were led down a twisting maze of corridors, along a winding journey that Revan remembered from his last visit to the Citadel. He and Malak had followed the same route, led by a guard they had bribed for access, completely unaware that they were being led into a trap. It was possible the same thing was being done to them this time as well, but Revan didn't think that was the case. The guard who had betrayed him and Malak had met with them numerous times before, leading them into the Citadel, no doubt reporting back to the Emperor after each visit. This time, however, events had moved too quickly and too spontaneously for the Emperor's patient hand to be behind them. As they drew closer to the throne room, Revan's thoughts drifted back to his last confrontation with the Emperor. In all his battles, he had never faced an enemy with that kind of power. The dark side had radiated from him in palpable waves, his physical shell barely able to contain the crackling energy. In their last meeting, he had overwhelmed Revan completely. It wasn't even fair to call it a battle. Revan had grown since then. He was far more powerful now. But was he a match for the Emperor? Alone, probably not. With the combined strength of Mitra, Scourge, and even T3, however, he believed they stood a real chance of victory. Despite this, he still felt a chill in his gut when he saw again the enormous durasteel doors of the throne room. They were shut, of course, but he knew all too well what lay beyond.
"Where is your captain?"
Scourge demanded, and Revan realized there was nobody there to meet them.
"She is coming,"
the guard assured him.
"I will not be kept waiting,"
Scourge snarled, continuing to play his part.
"I demand you open these doors immediately."
The soldier hesitated, then motioned for two of his men to do as Scourge had commanded. Revan braced himself for what was to come.
They had discussed this part of their plan before leaving the cave. The instant the doors were pushed open, all four would charge inside. While Revan rushed the Emperor, Mitra and Scourge would hang back and hold off the guards long enough for T3 to close and seal the doors. Their timing had to be almost perfect. Revan knew he couldn't go toe-to-toe with the Emperor by himself for very long. He sensed Mitra tensing beside him, and his own hand drifted to the hilt of his lightsaber beneath his belt in anticipation.
"What is going on here?"
a female voice called out from behind him. The two soldiers who had been about to push open the heavy Durasteel doors froze in place.
"Captain Yari,"
said the man who escorted them in, snapping off a sharp salute.
"Lord Scourge demands another meeting with the Emperor."
Revan was standing with his back to the captain, but he didn't need to see her face to recognize the name. Yari, the guard who had led him and Malak into the Emperor's trap.
"This is not acceptable, Lord Scourge,"
she said, the heels of her boots clacking as she approached.
"If you wish to speak to the Emperor, you must do so alone."
"I do not take orders from you, Captain," Scourge said.
"In the Citadel, you do," she answered. "You other two, and the droid, step away from there."
Revan had been carefully facing away from the speakers during the entire conversation, his eyes fixed on the massive doors. Suddenly, he felt a hand on his shoulder as one of the soldiers tried to pull him clear of the entrance. He slapped the hand away and turned to face them. Yari was standing beside Scourge, a few meters away from the rest of the group. She had come alone to meet them, bringing their escort up to a total of 7. The captain's eyes went wide with shock as she saw his unmistakable red and gray mask. She gasped, then shouted out,
"Assassins! Kill them all!"
Revan lashed out with his foot, delivering a sidekick to the chest of the guard who had grabbed his shoulder, sending the man stumbling back. T3-M4, his electrical circuits instantly processing the situation, reacted by firing off his built-in blaster. The beam struck the soldier square in the chest. At the same time, Mitra threw herself at the two guards standing in front of the doors to the throne room, her lightsaber materializing in her hand. Ordinary soldiers would have been chopped down before they could even draw their weapons, but the Imperial Guard were not so easily felled. The first soldier met her charge and parried the first strike with his electro staff, the resilient metal of his weapon deflecting the energy blade of the Jedi off to the side so that it carved a deep scar in the wall. The second soldier leapt into the fray, forcing Mitra to fall back a step to absorb their coordinated attack. Slightly farther away, Scourge and Captain Yari were also engaged in close-quarters combat, his lightsaber clashing against her electro staff as they battled in the narrow confines of the entrance hall. An alarm began to ring out in the hall, triggered by one of the other three soldiers. Before they could join in the fight, Revan thrust his hand palm up in the direction of the sealed Durasteel doors, blasting them wide open with the power of the Force.
"Into the throne room!"
he shouted, rushing forward. One of the guards battling Mitra broke off and tried to cut Revan off. The Jedi gathered himself and leapt high in the air, tucking his knees in tight to somersault over his opponent. The guard reacted to the unexpected move a fraction too slowly, his electro staff slicing through the air above his head and missing Revan by only a few centimeters. Revan landed on the ground and wheeled around to face the other man. He thrust out with the Force, the impact hitting the soldier square in the chest. Instead of sending him flying, it only staggered him back half a step. This close to the Emperor they were sworn to protect, the guards were able to draw on his power to protect themselves. Still, the slight tumble gave Revan enough time to draw his lightsaber and go on the offensive. He came in with a high overhand chop, an obvious feint meant to draw the defenses of his opponent upward, leaving his legs exposed to a quick follow-up strike. The guard recognized the familiar ploy, countering it by parrying the overhand chop and then quickly dropping his blade low to intercept the inevitable slash in his legs. Only Revan didn't go for his legs. Anticipating that his opponent's defenses would go low, he kept his blade up high, allowing him to end the battle with a horizontal cut across the man's suddenly exposed throat. T3 had followed him into the throne room, but Mitra and Scourge were still locked in battle with the guards in the hall outside. They were waging a fighting retreat,
They've maneuvered themselves so they can back into the throne room while keeping the guards at bay. At the far end of the hall, another half a dozen of the Imperial Guard rounded the corner. Revan reached out with the Force and ripped the vaulted stone archway in the ceiling above them free from its setting. A shower of dust and debris rained down on the reinforcements, sending them into temporary retreat. It wasn't enough to block the passage, but it did buy Scourge and Mitra a few precious seconds to complete their retreat into the chamber. They crossed the threshold, still engaged with Captain Yari and the three surviving Imperial Guard that had escorted them to the throne room. Revan reached out with the Force and slammed the Durasteel door shut, the clang echoing loudly in the throne room. "Seal the doors!" he shouted at T3. Then he turned his attention to the other end of the throne room. The Emperor was seated on his throne, watching the proceedings with cold detachment. Revan felt the same chill he had experienced the last time he had come into the Emperor's presence. The physical manifestation of his enemy's malevolent power.
"I did not expect you to return,"
the Emperor said, rising to his feet. Revan didn't bother to reply as he charged forward. Scourge was an expert swordsman. At the academy, even the instructors had been reluctant to face him in the training ring. When the dark side flowed through him, his blade was more than a weapon. It became an extension of his will. Captain Yari's skill with her electro staff was impressive, but ultimately she was no match for a Sith Lord. Knowing this, she had wisely adopted a defensive style to hold off the first few flurries of Scourge's attack, her focus on stalling him long enough for one of her companions to join the fray before switching to a more aggressive form. Now Scourge was forced to defend himself on two fronts as he backed into the throne room. In his peripheral vision, he saw that Mitra was in a similar situation, retreating while battling a pair of enemies. The fact that Revan hadn't come to their aid told Scourge that the Jedi had gone to confront the Emperor. Conjuring up images from Scourge's vision of him lying broken and beaten on the floor at the Emperor's feet. Yari's staff slipped through his defenses and clipped him on his right shoulder. Scourge's armor absorbed the worst of the blow, though he felt a painful jolt from the electrostaff's charge that made his hand and arm tingle. Even as Scourge cursed himself for allowing thoughts of his vision to distract him, he deftly switched his blade from his temporarily numb right hand to his left. The move was dangerous. It left him momentarily vulnerable as he made the switch. Fortunately, his opponents were unprepared for the unorthodox tactic, and neither was able to take advantage. While he and Mitra fought the quartet of guards, T3M4 was busy sealing the doors. The droid was spraying black foam along the edge where the double doors came together. Scourge recognized the foam as a powerful contact adhesive commonly used to repair starships. Seconds after being exposed to air, it would harden into a substance that could be cut only with a plasma torch. Yari's blade nearly caught him again, narrowly missing his cheek. Scourge swore out loud. If he didn't stay focused on the fight, his vision of the Emperor killing him wouldn't even have a chance to come true. "Go help Revan!" Mitra shouted to T3 as the astromech finished his task. Scourge pressed his attack, calling on the dark side to transform his uncertainty and fear into white-hot rage. He felt the power coursing through him, the spark of fury deep inside him igniting into a firestorm of death and destruction. Left-handed, Scourge unleashed a pair of savage chops at Yari's partner, using raw brute strength to overpower his physically weaker opponent. The guard parried the blows, but the first knocked him off balance, and the second sent him stumbling backward. While the guard struggled to recover, Scourge focused his assault on the captain. Yari sensed the shift in her opponent too late to switch back to a more defensive form, and the Sith Lord was quick to exploit the tactical flaw. A four-move sequence overwhelmed Yari, causing her to leave her right flank unprotected. Scourge seized the opportunity, his blade biting deep into her hip. Yari screamed, dropped her blade, and fell to the ground. The other guard leapt to her defense, recklessly throwing himself between his fallen captain and Scourge. The only reward for his effort was a quick death, delivered by a diagonal lightsaber slash across his chest. At Scourge's feet,
Yari fumbled to reclaim her weapon. The agony of her wound made her desperate and clumsy, giving Scourge time to relish her suffering. As her fingers wrapped around the hilt of her electrostaff, he brought his boot down on the top of her hand, crushing the bones. He stared into the captain's eyes one last time, savoring her terror, before decapitating her with a single stroke.
"We have to help Revan!"
Mitra shouted, and Scourge turned to see that she, too, had just finished off her opponents.
"He needs us!"
Chapter 28.
As Mitra and Scourge battled the guard, Revan charged toward the Emperor. His opponent stood perfectly still, focusing and channeling his power. At the last possible instant, the Emperor unleashed a wave of energy that swept Revan off his feet and sent him flying backward. Revan twisted in midair so that he was able to roll with the impact when he landed. He quickly sprang back to his feet and advanced again, moving more slowly this time. The Emperor stood in the exact same position as before. It was as if he hadn't even moved. Revan began to sense the oppressive presence of the dark side weighing down on him. The Emperor was trying to crush his will, to dominate and enslave his mind as he had before. This time, however, Revan was ready. Instead of charging forward, he opened himself up to the Force, letting both the light and the dark side flow through him like twin rushing rivers. But instead of focusing or channeling the Force, he released it in its purest form. There was a brilliant flash as the air between the two combatants lit up. The energy unleashed was powerful enough to send Revan staggering. The Emperor, unprepared and with much of his strength diverted to his effort to dominate Revan's mind, was sent flying backward. He landed in a heap on the floor, and Revan raced toward him. The Emperor rolled over, lifted himself up on one knee, and his hands flew forward as he hurtled a bolt of dark side lightning at his enemy. Revan intercepted the bolt with the blade of his lightsaber, though the impact stopped his charge dead in its tracks. The Emperor unleashed three more bolts in quick succession. Revan batted the first aside with his lightsaber, ducked the second, then deflected the third back in the direction of its source. It struck the Emperor in the chest, sending him sliding several meters back on the floor. For the first time, the Sith's emotionless veneer cracked as he let out a primal hiss of hate. The sound sent shivers down Revan's spine. The Emperor rose to his feet, his robe smoking and singed where the lightning had struck him. His black eyes flashed red, and he raised both hands high above his head. Revan knew he was gathering his power to unleash a swirling storm of pure dark side energy, just as Nyriss had done. The Jedi quickly calculated his options. Realizing he couldn't close the gap between them quickly enough to stop the assault, he gathered his own energy and spread his hands before him, ready to catch and absorb the Emperor's attack. A dozen bolts of purple lightning arced from the Emperor toward him. Revan tried to draw them in and contain him, but the Emperor was infinitely more powerful than Darth Nyriss had ever been. Revan's body was engulfed in agony as the electricity coursed through his body. His skin began to boil and blister, the flesh of his face melting and sticking to the superheated metal of his mask as the Emperor poured more and more power into him. Through the haze of indescribable pain, he saw T3-M4 rushing in to help him. The droid let loose with his flamethrower, bathing the Emperor in fire. At the last instant, the Emperor cocooned himself in the Force to save himself from being incinerated, breaking his focus on Revan. The Jedi collapsed to the ground, burned but still alive, the hilt of his extinguished lightsaber lying on the floor less than a meter beyond his grasp. Almost too weak to move, Revan managed to raise his head just in time to see the Emperor turn on the brave little astromech. A tremor rippled through the air as the Emperor unleashed the full power of the Force against the defenseless droid. T3 never stood a chance.
The little droid exploded into a million pieces. Internal circuits and external casing obliterated in a single instant.
No!
Revan screamed from the ground as bits of his friend rained down on him in the form of unrecognizable shrapnel. He tried to rise, but his injured body refused to respond. Instinctively, he called on the Force to give him strength and heal his wounds. The Emperor was approaching him with calm, purposeful steps. Once he reached Revan's side, he calmly bent down and picked up the Jedi's fallen weapon, igniting the blade. The healing properties of the Force were powerful, but Revan's wounds were severe, and he needed more time to restore his strength. Helpless, he could only stare up at the Emperor as he raised the lightsaber to deliver the killing blow. Even as she called to Scourge to help, Mitra was already sprinting toward the far end of the throne room. Scourge hesitated before joining her, taking a moment to survey the situation, memories of his vision of their failure still fresh in his mind. What he saw was not good. Revan was being electrocuted, his body spasming uncontrollably as the Emperor blasted him with dark purple lightning. Revan's astromech launched a jet of flame at the Emperor, freeing Revan, who collapsed to the ground. In retaliation, the Emperor disintegrated the offending droid, strode over to where Revan lay, and picked the vanquished Jedi's lightsaber up off the floor. It all happened in the space of only a few seconds. Mitra was moving fast, but she was too far away to stop the Emperor from eviscerating the prone Jedi at his feet. In desperation, she hurled her lightsaber with a wild sidearm throw, guiding it with the Force so that it spiraled end over end to intercept the descending blade, knocking it from the Emperor's grasp and sending it skittering across the floor. Suddenly empty-handed, the Emperor took a quick step back. His attention had been focused solely on Revan. Mitra's trick had caught him by surprise. Scourge realized that if she had aimed at the Emperor instead of the blade, she could have ended his life even as he ended Revan's. But her instincts to save her friend overrode her desire to kill her enemy, and Scourge could only lament the lost opportunity. Mitra was still rushing forward, using the Force to return her lightsaber to her waiting hand. Sensing hesitation and uncertainty in the Emperor as he tried to evaluate the strength and weaknesses of his new foe, Scourge rushed forward to join Mitra and Revan. Mitra had placed herself between the Emperor and Revan, valiantly protecting her wounded friend. As Scourge reached them, Revan managed to stand up again. He reached out with an open palm, and his lightsaber sprang from the floor and into his waiting grasp. The three of them stood side by side, two Jedi and a Sith Lord against the Emperor.
I expected better from you, Lord Scourge.
Scourge wondered if he was stalling for time so his guard could break through the sealed door. There wasn't much chance of that, however. By the time they broke into the throne room, the battle would already be decided, one way or the other.
He has seen the depths of your evil, Revan declared. He stands with us now. Then he will die with you as well. You can't defeat all three of us, Revan said. United, we are stronger than even you. That remains to be seen.
For Scourge, the universe suddenly seemed frozen in place, as if time itself had stopped. He realized he was at a crux in history. Fate and destiny would be forever altered in the next few moments. The Force washed over him in a wave, and a million possible futures flickered through his mind simultaneously. In some, the Emperor was no more. In others, he had transformed the entire galaxy into an empty wasteland. He saw both Revan's triumph and defeat in the throne room. He saw variations of his own life and death played out over and over in every conceivable way, shape, and form. He had to choose, but there was no way to know which was the most likely outcome, or what actions of his would lead to which results. Revan had said visions could guide the Jedi, but for Scourge they brought nothing but confusion. The moment passed, and the universe began to move again, though everything seemed to be happening in slow motion. Revan and Mitra stepped forward,
ready to initiate the final confrontation. Scourge knew he had to act now. He had to make his choice. In a sudden moment of clarity, he saw the Emperor lying defeated at the feet of a powerful Jedi. But that Jedi was neither Revan nor Mitra. And the Sith Lord knew what he had to do. Instead of advancing with his two companions, Scourge stepped to the side so that he was standing directly behind Mitra. There was a flicker in his consciousness as the universe snapped back to full speed, and he slid the blade of his lightsaber between her shoulders. Mitra gasped and toppled forward, dead before she hit the floor. Revan's head snapped to the side, shock and horror emanating from him even though his mask hid his expression. The distraction gave the Emperor the opportunity he needed, and he unleashed another blast of lightning into the Jedi's chest. Scourge could smell burning flesh as Revan screamed once, then collapsed to the ground, unconscious. The Emperor turned to face Scourge, and the Sith Lord dropped to one knee, head bowed in supplication.
"Explain yourself,"
the Emperor said, and Scourge knew if he chose his words poorly, they would be the last he ever spoke.
"The Jedi was working with Nyriss," he said, speaking quickly. "He claimed he had once been your servant, but that he had returned to destroy you. I knew I was not strong enough to defeat him by myself, so I lured him here to face you. Why didn't you mention this when you told me about Nyriss' betrayal?" "I didn't know," Scourge lied. "I only found out after the guard raised her stronghold. The Jedi sought me out. They knew I worked for Nyriss. They never suspected that I was the one who had betrayed her." "So you led them to me?" "I knew they could never defeat you," Scourge said. "So I played along, waiting for my chance to turn on them and prove my loyalty to you once more." "If this is true, then you must finish it." Scourge nodded and rose to his feet. He walked over to Revan, bent down, and ripped off his helmet. The Jedi's face was badly burned, the outline of his mask indelibly seared into his cheeks and forehead. He was still unconscious, his body in shock from his wounds. Without medical attention, he would die soon anyway. The Sith Lord raised his lightsaber to deliver the coup de grace. He brought his arm down, but it suddenly stopped, as if an invisible and impossibly strong hand had seized his wrist. He glanced back at the Emperor in surprise. "Put away your blade. You have passed the test. But Revan can still be of use to me."
Despite his curiosity, Scourge knew better than to ask how. He couldn't risk anything that might make it appear he was concerned about the Jedi's fate. To sell his lie, he had to make it seem as if everything he had done had been for the most obvious and selfish of reasons.
"Twice I have stopped those who have sought to defeat you," he said, extinguishing his blade and bowing before the Emperor. "I trust you will remember this when you select the members of the new Dark Council."
The Emperor smiled, and Scourge's entire body went cold.
"I promise you will be given your just reward."
Chapter 29.
"The ritual is about to begin,"
the Emperor intoned. Scourge nodded, though even if he had wanted to refuse, it was far too late now. He was standing in the center of a cylindrical metal platform roughly 2 meters across. Dozens of wires and IV tubes had been hooked to his body. The wires were connected to several generators arranged in a circle around the platform. The IV tubes ran to clear vats filled with a strange green bubbling liquid. They were still inside the Citadel, but this private chamber was much smaller than the throne room. It was unfurnished, and apart from the Emperor, Scourge, and the infernal machinery he was hooked up to, completely empty. In the wake of Revan's defeat,
The Emperor hadn't made him a member of the Dark Council after all. Instead, he had created a new position for Scourge. The Emperor's Wrath. The Emperor had believed his explanation about Revan. As a reward, Scourge was to become his personal enforcer and executioner, taking his orders directly from the Emperor and answering to no one but him. That wasn't the full extent of his reward, however. For his role in exposing Zedrix, Nyriss, and Revan, the Emperor had promised to grant Scourge the gift of eternal life. He would forever serve at the Emperor's side, an honor far greater than that even of being selected for the Dark Council. Scourge had eagerly accepted, knowing his new position would give him both time and opportunity to find another way to stop the Emperor before his madness and hunger consumed the galaxy.
"Open yourself to the dark side," the Emperor said, and Scourge felt the air around him begin to swirl with power.
Betraying his allies had not altered the inevitable outcome. The Emperor would have won regardless. At least this way, Scourge was still alive to carry on their cause. Revan was still alive, too, but he was as good as dead to Scourge. The Emperor was holding him prisoner in a secret facility, and Scourge knew he could never risk trying to find its location. He couldn't do anything that might suggest an ongoing connection between him and Revan. Doing so would expose the truth to the Emperor, making his sacrifice of the Jedi pointless.
"Let the spark of eternal life ignite within you."
Scourge felt a sharp burst of heat in his chest. He gritted his teeth in pain as the heat grew more intense. He felt no guilt or remorse over what he had done. He knew the Jedi would never have chosen this path, of course. They would have felt the price of betrayal was too high. Scourge knew they were wrong. There was no sense in throwing his life away with theirs. Betrayal was the cost of stopping the Emperor, and he alone had been willing to pay it. Revan had been right about one thing, however. The attack had made the Emperor step back from his plans to invade the Republic. Instead of looking beyond the borders of the Sith Empire, he had turned his attention inward, focusing on restoring stability and control over Dromund Kaas and the other worlds he ruled. The Dark Council would have to be rebuilt. It was inevitable there would be infighting and high turnover in the first few years as the new members vied with one another to curry favor with the Emperor. And he, in turn, would keep a close eye on the actions of the Council until the plots and schemes returned to a more normal and expected level. It would be several decades, maybe longer, before the Emperor revisited the idea of invading the Republic. In that time, much could happen. Revan had spoken of another champion who would rise. Scourge had seen that champion in his final vision. Blessed with eternal life, Scourge would serve faithfully at the Emperor's side, biding his time as he waited for that champion to emerge from the mists of time. While serving, he would study the Emperor. He would learn everything about him. He would come to understand his strengths and weaknesses, so that when the time came, he could help Revan's prophesied champion destroy the Emperor once and for all.
"Feel your mortality as it is stripped away."
Scourge screamed as invisible claws tore at his insides, seemingly shredding his vital organs. The heat in his chest had spread to the rest of his body. It felt as if his blood were made of fire. The agony became unbearable, and he shrieked and collapsed to the floor.
"The ritual cannot be undone," the Emperor said, as Scourge writhed and wept at his feet.
Through his torment, Scourge realized with dawning horror what the Emperor was saying. The ritual was over, but the searing heat and the rending of his insides continued unabated. Focusing his will, he managed to still the convulsions racking his body. He forced himself to his knees, though every movement seemed to amplify the pain. Trembling, he rose to his feet and addressed the Emperor.
"How long will this anguish last?"
he asked,
his jaw clenched.
As time passes, you will learn to accept and endure your suffering. Your mind and body will find ways to deal with the pain. After many months, you will become accustomed enough to it to function in your role as the Emperor's wrath. Eventually, you will simply become numb, unable to feel anything at all.
Why?
Scourge asked, his voice something between a sob and a moan.
Everything has a cost. This is the price of immortality.
Revan's cell was as much laboratory as prison. Trapped in a suspended cage of shimmering power, he hovered somewhere between life and death. His paralyzed body was in some kind of stasis, preserved and protected, so that even time itself could not touch him. But his consciousness was fully aware. Mitra could sense his suffering. When she had died, she had not become one with the Force. Loyal to the end, her spirit had remained with Revan, an invisible presence hovering just outside his cell. She couldn't speak with him. Whatever arcane Sith sorcery the Emperor had used to bind Revan in his cell made that impossible. She doubted Revan was even aware she was there. Yet even though she couldn't communicate with him, she was able to offer aid and support, her power trickling through the energy barrier that surrounded him, a lifeline he could cling to in the dark ocean of his imprisonment. As the Emperor fed off him, Mitra was allowing Revan to feed off her. Her sustenance strengthened his resolve whenever he grew weak, refreshing and restoring him so he could continue his never-ending mental war. Because of her, Revan was able to do more than just fight to keep the Emperor at bay. Revan could feel the Emperor feeding on him, drawing on his power to sate his endless hunger. Though the two were physically separated by a dozen parsecs, there was still an unbreakable mental link, fashioned by the Emperor and sustained by the infernal machines powering the cell. Yet the Emperor wanted more than to leech off his fallen adversary's power to sustain his own twisted existence. Revan could feel the enemy inside his head. He could sense the unmistakable darkness of the Emperor sifting through his thoughts and memories, seeking, probing, digging for answers. He wanted information on the Republic and the Jedi. How strong were they? Were they vulnerable? How much did they know about the Sith and the Emperor himself? He wanted information on Revan. What had happened during his own invasion of the Republic? Why had it failed? How had he freed himself from the Emperor's control? The answers were all there, but Revan would not surrender them easily. Though he was physically helpless, mentally he was strong enough to wage war against the Emperor, guarding and protecting his secrets for however long it might take. And Revan knew something the Emperor did not. The connection between them went both ways. There were brief moments, times when the Emperor was intently focused on something else, when he could subvert their relationship by planting seeds in the Emperor's thoughts. He had to be careful, lest his enemy discover what he was doing, but he was able to push and nudge the Emperor's own thoughts and beliefs, subtly manipulating them in ways that could have profound effects. Revan played on the Emperor's caution and patience, constantly pushing them to the forefront of his enemy's mind. He augmented his irrational fear of death. At every opportunity, he reinforced the idea that invading the Republic was reckless and dangerous. It was impossible to know what would have happened if Scourge had not betrayed them in the throne room. They might have lost anyway, but they also might have defeated the Emperor, forever freeing the galaxy from the threat of annihilation at the hands of a madman. There was no way to be sure, and no point in dwelling on the past. Revan was certain of one thing, though. For however many centuries his body survived in stasis, he would fight to stop the Emperor from invading the Republic. He clung to this certainty. It gave him hope. He knew there was no chance of escape from his prison. He knew it was inevitable that one day the Emperor would win their endless battle of wills. But if he managed to delay him for 50 years, Bastila might never have to experience the horrors of another galactic war. 100, and his son could live his whole life in an era of peace, never knowing the fear of facing utter annihilation. Whenever his thoughts turned to his wife and son, he tried to reach out to them through the Force, offering comfort and strength from the other side of the galaxy. He didn't know if they ever felt him, but he liked to imagine that they did. Even if they couldn't, just thinking of them gave him strength. Revan was fighting for the future of his wife and child, and it was a fight he did not intend to lose. Epilogue.
Why is your hair all gray?
Risa, the youngest of Bastila's grandchildren, asked.
Because I'm an old woman,
Bastila replied.
Is that why you're all wrinkly, too?
Her brother Bress asked.
Come on, you two,
their mother said, scooping them up in her arms.
I think it's time for bed.
She hustled the kids out of the living room, leaving Bastila alone with her son.
I'm glad you came today,
Bastila said.
It means a lot to me.
Vayner reached out to wrap his hand around his mother's fingers and gave her a reassuring squeeze. I know this is a tough time for you, he said. You always get down when your anniversary comes around. Have you been thinking about him?
I think about him a lot, she answered.
So do I, her son admitted. I wonder what he'd say to me if we ever met.
He'd tell you he was proud of you,
Bastila assured him. You don't think he'd be disappointed that I never joined the Jedi Order? Bastila shook her head.
You've done too much in your life to have those kinds of regrets,
she told him.
The Jedi are guardians and protectors of the galaxy, but these past 50 years, we've needed so much more. The Republic had to rebuild. We needed leaders to unite us, to help us work together. You saw that need, and you filled it.
Her son laughed. You sound like my campaign manager. Vote Vayner Shan for Supreme Chancellor. Bastila shook her head.
You joke, but if you wanted that post, you could have it.
I'll get back to you on that.
Besides,
she added after a moment's thought,
if you were a Jedi, you never would have married Emess.
When we first met, you said she was too young for me, he reminded her.
I'm older and wiser now, she said.
Aren't we all? They were quiet for a few more minutes, before Vayner asked another question. Do you think he's still alive?
I don't know,
Bastila admitted.
If he is, why didn't he come back? On the other hand, there are times when I think I can still sense his presence, like he's reaching out to me from somewhere far away.
Vayner smiled, but didn't say anything.
You think your old mother's going senile, don't you?
Sometimes the Force is a little hard to understand.
You'd better get used to it, she told him. It's in your blood. I can already sense it in those kids of yours.
I guess it skips a generation, Vayner said with a soft laugh. After a few more minutes of silence, he spoke again. It was a question Bastila had expected to hear for many years. Do you ever wish he had stayed with you instead?
I miss your father every day of my life, she said. But I never once thought that.
Why not?
Revan knew there was something out there. Something that threatened the Republic. Maybe something that threatened the entire galaxy. He went to stop it. And I know he succeeded.
How can you know that?
Because you and I are here talking about this,
she said.
We haven't been wiped out by war or turned into refugees. The galaxy hasn't come to some kind of horrific end. Whatever Revan did, he made it possible for you and me to live our lives without fear and hardship. And for that, I will always be grateful.
She reached out and placed a wrinkled hand on each of her son's cheeks, pulling him in close and kissing him softly on the head. I better go check on Dimas and the kids, he said, standing up.
Of course,
she said, waving her hand.
Go, go. I'll just stay here on the couch and have a little nap.
Her son headed off to the guest room in the back, and Bastila closed her eyes, quickly drifting into sleep. As always, she dreamed of Revan.
This is Mark Thompson. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, The Old Republic, Revan, by Drew Karpyshyn. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer Aaron Blank. Star Wars, The Old Republic, Revan, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2011, all rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.